14. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Amos 4:12. Many do not realize what they must be in order to live in the sight of the Lord without a high priest in the sanctuary through the time of trouble. Those who receive the seal of the living God and are protected in the time of trouble must reflect the image of Jesus fully. Their robes must be spotless. Their character must be purified from sin by the blood of sprinkling. Through the grace of God and their own diligent effort, they must be conquerors in the battle with evil. While the investigative judgment is going forward in heaven, while the sins of permanent believers are being removed from the sanctuary, there is to be a special work of purification, of putting away of sin among God's people upon earth. I saw that many were neglecting the preparation so needful and were looking at to the time of refreshing and the latter rain to fit them in the stand in the day of the Lord and to live in His sight. Oh, how many I saw in the time of trouble without a shelter. They had neglected the needful preparation. Therefore, they could not receive the refreshing that all must have to fit them to live in the sight of a holy God. Those who refuse to be healed by the prophets and fail to purify their souls in obeying the whole truth, and who are willing to believe that their condition is far better than it really is, will come up to the time failing of the plagues and then see that they needed to be healed and squared for the building. I saw that none could share the refreshing unless they obtained the victory over every besetment, over pride, selfishness, love of the world, and over every wrong word and action. We should, therefore, be drawing nearer and nearer to the Lord and be earnestly seeking that preparation necessary to enable us to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Let all remember that God is holy and that none but holy beings can ever dwell in His presence.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and Heavenly Father, once again, Heavenly Father, be most thankful and grateful that once again we are alive and we are breathing the bread of life. Once again, Father, we see the signs being fulfilled. Help us to examine ourselves, Heavenly Father, to see to make sure all is well with us, not only us, but our families. Help us also to realize, Heavenly Father, that when we stand before you, it's only going to be you and us. And the question is going to be, what did we do with your son? And all is said and then, Father, we pray that we be a part of your kingdom, save forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome all of our listening audience this afternoon throughout the Bahamas and parts of Florida and even down to Takes and Caicos Island. We will continue our study on the ceiling, and our health discussion this afternoon will be on constipation. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website for sermons, for health tips, and to contact any of us here on the program at www.tpministries.org. And if you happen to be away from the Bahamas and you still want to listen to us via the web, you can by logging on to www.znsbahamas.com. Now here's Marlene McKinney on the topic of constipation. Marlene, can you tell us what constipation is?
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and thank you for tuning in to Turning Point's Health Nugget. We're talking about constipation, and Julian, constipation is one of the most common problems of our modern times, and it has a lot to do, largely to do with our diet. It is a disorder of the colon producing infrequent or difficult emptying of the bowels. The stools are hard and dry. So if you have any of those symptoms, I'd suggest that you may be a little constipated.
Okay. What causes constipation?
Well, constipation is actually caused for the most part by an insufficient amount of fluid and fiber in the diet. Many times we, as a people, we tend to stray away from or choose not to drink sufficient water. We figure that having some coffee and tea, this is sufficient. And the body needs a certain amount of fluid, and the fluid comes in the form of water. That's our favorite beverage here on Turning Point. Water, 7 to 8 glasses per day, helps us to eliminate constipation. Then two persons may not have sufficient fiber, and we need at least 30 to 35 grams of fiber per day. And in order to get that fiber, We may need to change our diet somewhat. And this would mean eating more fruits and vegetables, nuts and grains. And you know, my favorite place for shopping, I often share with people, is the place where there are no labels on the food. Do you know where that is in the food store? The favorite spot in the food store for me would be the produce. All the fruits and vegetables you can eat. As a matter of fact, we call vegetables F-R-E-E foods, free foods. You can have as much as you want. I promise you, once you consume lots of vegetables, fruits, and water, you won't have a problem eliminating. Of course, there are other problems too, or other factors why many persons may have a little constipation. It could be a lack of inactivity, lack of exercise, maybe some muscle disorder, bowel disease. Of course, we mentioned poor diet. So these are some of the factors that you'd want to look at if you were to be a person experiencing.
What are some of the symptoms of constipation?
Symptoms, we have anywhere from headaches to insomnia. We may also have bad breath. Yes, that's right, body odor. We may even have appendicitis. That's right. Depression. I have a friend who I walk with in the morning, and she mentioned a few weeks ago that she was very depressed and she could not sleep. Insomnia, one of the factors. And her problem was that she was not going to the bathroom. And so it led to her feeling very depressed. Fatigue, gas and bloating, hemorrhoids or piles, indigestion, obesity, and even varicose veins, those ugly veins that we get on our legs, ladies, may be as a result of us being constipated. And of course, it can definitely lead to bowel cancer. So these are just some of the illnesses that constipation can lead to.
Okay, so how can we prevent this constipation?
Well, there are a number of ways. We mentioned one already. First one being add some water and add some fiber to your diet. What else can we do? For extreme cases, there is something called Cascara Sagrada. That's a very natural herb that you can, or supplement that you can take. Very, very effective. It works. I've tried it. I don't usually suffer from constipation, praise the Lord. But for times when I do need a little boost, the Cascara Sagrada often helps. Of course, in our backyards, most of us have aloe vera growing. The aloe vera is excellent for healing and also cleansing the digestive tract, and helps to, it aids in forming soft stools. So if you can drink some, probably, you know, get a little and steep it in some water and drink it, or you can just take some, eat it. I have people who love the aloe vera. I don't, but I know that it's good for me, and so I'll take it if I have to. Then too, you can also consume more pectin, foods high in pectin. The apples, great foods. I mean, this is an excellent food. It's, you know, as the saying goes, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. That's very true. Then we have the carrots and the beets and the bananas and the cabbages and the citrus and dried beans and peas. These all are very high in pectin. Then we need to follow a diet low in animal fat and animal products. Animal products has no fiber whatsoever. That would be the meats, the dairy products, which would be the milk and the cheese and the eggs and all of these other foods. There is no fiber found in any of these foods. And then some of us sit down to a, and this may sound very familiar, we may sit down to some fries along with a sandwich or a burger with the white bread, which has zero fiber, and maybe a slice of tomato and maybe a little lettuce, and then some sesame seeds maybe sprinkled on top of that dinner roll, you know, or the bun. And then we have the big beef, you know, in the middle of that, and it has no fiber. And then we expect to eliminate. How do you expect to stimulate the system if there's nothing there to stimulate it with? Okay, so we need to be very conscious about what we're putting into our mouths. Then too, you can also eat some prunes and figs. These are great natural supplements, natural laxatives, great for the body. Even the olives are very good. Have a few with your meal. Then we would like to also encourage you to drink more water, there's a quick relief with the water. You can take one large glass of water every 10 minutes for half an hour. Don't let the water be cold, let it be room temperature preferably, or as warm as you can take it. Half an hour every 10 minutes, and I promise you, you'll find some relief using that. Then you need to train yourself to eliminate the same time each day. Relax. Sometimes we need to just sit and read. Just sit there. Relax. You know, no rush. There's no haste here. I often tell my students when I meet with them, you know, I've trained myself to go. I get my devotional, my favorite devotional, and I'll just open my book to the date, and I start reading, and before I'm halfway through, I'm sure I'm going to be cleansed, okay? So try to do that. Relax yourself. And of course, exercise. Very, very effective in helping to get rid of the toxin waste that's built up in the colon. You don't want that toxin building to be left in the colon. You don't want that toxin to be left in the colon, because the toxin leads to things like diabetes and cancer and heart disease, and this is not wholesome. This is not wholesome. So definitely we need to be more concerned about what we are taking in our system. We need to be very, very concerned. People need to know that we need to eliminate on a daily basis.
Okay. What are some of the other problems that constipation causes, other than the headaches and the stress and so forth? Does constipation cause any other problem?
Well, yes. It can also lead to, like I said before, cancer, bowel cancer. Unfortunately, it can also lead to lack of energy, poor appetite, and low back pains. You know, these are other problems that we may experience as a result of being constipated. But if you have need of any information that I may have shared, and of course there's always more than we're able to share in the time frame that we have available to us, please feel free to give us a call.
Thank you very much, Marlene, and good afternoon, Brother Paul.
Good afternoon, Brother Julian. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Brother Paul, before we get started this afternoon, could you give us a little bit of an update of where we are and so forth?
Yeah, thank you. This is going to be the fourth week we're going to be studying with the nation, the topic on the sealing, the seal, and for us to receive the seal of the living God. And maybe you missed our first, second, and third feature on this program. So today we're going to invite you to go to our website, which is www.tpministries.org, if you want to rehear some of those messages that you have missed on the sealing of the living God, and also the header lectures that we share here week after week are now on our website. So each week, for the next couple of months or however long the program lasts, all the past programs and even the previous ones and the ones ahead of us, God, give us strength to live, go on. The programs will be on our website, which is www.tpministries.org. And if you have any problem getting on, you can feel free to give us a call at 322-6273.
Brother Paul, as we pick up the newspapers today, we see there are a lot of senseless killings and all kind of little crimes going on. Seeing that everyone is afraid of all of this, what should we be doing as Christians?
Right now, Brother Julian, we should be following the example of what is printed in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And it simply says, the time has come for us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, proving our own selves, meaning that the father can't stand for the mother, nor the mother for the father, nor for the children for their parents. Each of us need to examine ourselves by ourselves through the word of God, realizing that if we don't, it'll be our own responsibility why we'll be lost at the end of time.
How could we know that we are in the faith?
According to Romans chapter 10, verse 15-7, it says, and how should they be preached, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring God tidings and good things. But they have not all obeyed this gospel that was preached. For Elijah said, the Lord, who shall believe our report? Only those, according to verse 17, so then faith come by hearing and hearing of the word of God. They are the only ones that are going to believe the report of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which always stand and go to the Bible for their guide on their rule of faith.
If we do not accept this truth of God, what would be our end?
It's not going to be good. This is a scripture we've been reading to the nation for quite some time now, and I don't think it'll be wrong for us to read it once again. It's coming from 2 Thessalonians chapter 8:12. And then shall the wicked be revealed, who alone shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy every one of them with the brightness of his coming. even him, which is Satan, who come after the work of Satan, with all power and sign and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God should send them all the strong delusion, that they should be believing a lie, and that they all may be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So before any of the categories listed above, it's very important for us now to examine our lives to make sure to this day and not tomorrow we are definitely in the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Should we be upset or angry as we see these things happen around us today?
We should be upset, because it's natural for us to be upset, but not to the point where we would be troubled. Because Jesus said this in John 14, 1-6, an old familiar scripture, "Let not our hearts be troubled," ladies and gentlemen. If you and I believe in God, we should also believe in Jesus Christ. In my Father's house, Jesus says, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to that place to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare the place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where do I go? You know. And the way, you know. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not where thou goest. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." So here again, ladies, is another principle, that no one goes before Christ comes back to take them home to be with him. All those who died before are in the grave. And all those who went down in the watery graves are still in the watery grave. And the good news is, when Christ comes, he'll take them to where he is. And where is he? He's right now sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for you and I.
Did anyone in Jesus' day had this fear that we're talking about this afternoon?
Yes, one of the examples you can find some of this fear that has been existing earlier today was in the days of the disciples. A scripture taken from Mark chapter 4, verse 38 to 41. They were in a ship, and the Bible says a storm kicked up. And as they departed in the ship, they found Jesus sleeping. And they awaked him and said to them, "Master, care us not that we perish?" And the same thing is being said today in our listening ears, through people becoming attacked, as if the Lord does not care. Of course he does. And he rose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful?" And it's the same question our Savior is asking today. Why are we, or why are you, so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?" And the same thing is said today. Our Lord is still in the business of putting things in the order where they should be. But remember, he said in his word that it would not get better. According to Matthew 24, it's going to get worse and worse. And here we are today, in late time of Earth's history, we can see things are definitely getting worse, just like our Savior predicted that it would.
Seeing that Jesus rebuked this fear, where does this fear come from?
For sure, Brother Julian, it doesn't come from God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 7, the Bible says, "For God has not given you and I the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So today, if you are fearful, be assured that fear comes from the devil, and it doesn't come from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
How should we be then ordering our lives today and the lives of our families, or to whom those we are responsible for or can influence? How should we be ordering our lives, Brother Paul?
According to Hebrews chapter 10, we should be ordering our lives very carefully. Listen to these words. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 31. "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remained no more sacrifice for sin." And we've been here now going on to 4 years, telling you the truths of God's word. Some of you are convicted to the heart. But the problem is, some of you have decided to put that conviction aside, and you think that it's going to be well. But would it be? Listen to the next verse. "For a certain fearful looking of the judgment, of fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries." Meaning that if you reject the word of the Lord, it'll be fire this time, and not the flood. Then verse 28 says, "And he that despises Moses' law," meaning that he that break the law of Moses, "was put to death by more than 2 or 3 witnesses. Of how much more sorry punishment suppose ye, that if ye should thought worthy, who had trodden down under the foot of the Son of God, and had counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith we were sanctified, and holy thing, and had done despising unto the Spirit of grace. For we know in him," that's in Jesus Christ, he said, "vengeance belong unto him, and I will recompense." In other words, I will do the payment, said the Lord, and again, the Lord shall bring judge, and the Lord himself shall judge his people. And it's a fearful thing, the Bible says, that you and I shall fall into the hands of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for us to see if we truly are abiding in the faith today. If not, it'll be a fearful thing that the Bible says for us to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember, hell is not made for the devil and his angels, but it was only made for the devil and his angels, and it was not made for you and I. So the question to be asked, why would you and I be a part of that? It'll only be because of our own selfish and our own stubborn ways caused us to be lost.
But Paul, I'd like to for you to explain some of these words for me and the listening audience. Willfully, what does the word willfully mean?
The word willfully means deliberate, done deliberately, especially within the intent of harming somebody or in the spirit of knowing that it will harm somebody. For instance, if I know that there's a cliff off the deep end of the direction you are heading and I don't tell you, I mean I'm willfully, deliberately not trying to save your life. It's the same thing in spiritual matters. It'll be wrong for me to know that you're heading in the wrong direction and come here week after week and don't send you spiritual messages from the Bible. When the messages go forward, I leave the results to God. That's His responsibility. And be assured that the Word of the Bible says the Word of God will not return unto Him void.
Are you saying then that someone who does not care for the Word of God is being stubborn? And what does that mean?
The Word, yes, they are being stubborn. The Bible says stubbornness or stubbornly determines to act as desire regardless of the opinion or of the advice of others. Most of our advice that we give to you on spiritual matters comes from the Bible. Very rarely we go outside of the Bible. Like today, right now, we explain the word willfully and what it means to be stubborn. We go to the dictionary, and the dictionary must always line up with the Word of God. A few months ago, we shared with you where the dictionary is trying to give two holy days, Sunday and Saturday. According to the Bible, whenever the dictionary says Sunday is a holy day, the dictionary is out of order. But maybe the author of the dictionary does not realize this, and that's why Christ has called you and I for such a time to let the dictionary order know there's still only one holy day. And that's the seventh day according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11.
What about the word vengeance?
Vengeance. The word vengeance is talked about a lot in the media today, especially when it comes to the death penalty. The word vengeance means revenge or punishment for that is inflicted and or returned for something that was done wrong. So everyone today wants to seek vengeance when their family lives are being taken or their husbands or their wives' lives are taken. I mean, it's natural to feel this way, ladies and gentlemen, but if you and I are rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and if you and I are rooted and grounded in the Spirit of God, we realize that according to Hebrews, vengeance is the Lord's own, and He promised that He surely will repay.
How important is influence or our influence over those who we are responsible for sharing the gospel?
It's very important. And today I'd like for us to pray for all of the ministers of the gospel who have great influence in this nation and around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's one area that I think a lot of people are going to be lost is in the area of influence. You see, even on the job, your influence matters. Is your influence spiritual or is it carnal? Is it spiritual or is it worldly? The influence must also always be on the side of spiritual matters. Don't care what the outcome might be. Remember, spiritual matters always come first, because the Bible says, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us.
Brother Paul, when you quoted Hebrews 10, 26 to 31, you mentioned the law of Moses. How did Jesus deal with the law of Moses?
According to John chapter 8, verse 1 to 5, there's a Moses. This is how Jesus dealt with it. It says, Jesus, when he was on the Mount of Olives, early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came with him and sat down and taught him. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman, which is taken in adultery, when they had sat her in the midst, and said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, and she was caught in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such a one should be stoned. What sayest thou? So right off the bat, they brought this woman to Jesus to see what the outcome would be. And Jesus had to deal with it.
And what was Jesus' answer to this question, Brother Paul?
According to verse 6:11, Jesus said, and they said, tempting him. Satan was trying to tempt Jesus through these people, that they might have an accusation against him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote in the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they had continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto him, which one of you here that is without sin, let him or her cast the first stone at the lady. And again Jesus stooped down and began to write on the ground. And they which heard it were being convicted of their own conscience, went one by one, beginning at the eldest, and even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, he and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw that none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The good news about this story was those that realized they were convicted of sin, which is transgression of God's law, walked away. The question needs to be asked, are we doing the same thing today when we want to cast condemnation upon people, wanted to send them to places where they should not be going? Are we walking away when Christ asks us the question, if anyone here was out sin? If you and I are guilty of breaking the Ten Commandments, we have no right to cast a stone or to hang anyone on planet Earth. And how would we know? We can examine ourselves according to the Ten Commandments, which is written in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11, and thereon, all the chapters of Exodus chapter 20, verses of Exodus chapter 20, is where we'll go to examine our lives.
Brother Paul, if the government had to come to you now and ask your opinion on capital punishment, What would be your advice to them?
My advice will be on the grounds of, if you're going to put the death penalty back in effect, let's go by the whole capital punishment issue. Let's not just deal with one part of it. And by all means, I'm truly against it. But if you want to twist my arm to make me be a part of it, let's don't be biased. Let's go with the whole thing. Everything that the capital punishment have to offer, coming down from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through Moses, let's put that into effect. And once you want to go with it, then so be it. But my thing will always be, let's leave the vengeance and all those other things to God himself.
Does Moses' law call for the death penalty for those who curse their parents?
Of course they do. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9, it says, for everyone that curses his father or his mother, he should surely be put to death, and his blood should be upon his head. So the Bible says, if you know of any children today that curse their father and their mother, they should be put to death. And how about those kids that are in the Boys and Girls Industrial School? Most of them are there because their parents said they are unruly. So if the Bible is clear, the Bible says they should be put to death. Would we want that today in the day in which we live? Think about it.
What about committing adultery?
The same thing applies in the verse 10 of the same chapter, Leviticus chapter 20. The Bible says if any man should be caught in adultery with another woman, both of them should be put to death.
What about those who are involved in those type of illegal sexual activities, like lying with a mother man's wife?
Well, both of them, the Bible says, according to the Bible, if I should be laying with my father's wife, who is not my mother, we should be put to death, according to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11.
What about this, and this is one that's kind of been in the news a couple of months ago, what about those men who lie with mankind like they lie with womankind? What about those?
Of course, the Bible says in verse 13 of Leviticus chapter 20, they all should be put to death. Both men should be put to death, and the women should be put to death.
So what would be your advice to anybody today now who wants to be prepared for receiving God's seal?
My advice should be, ladies and gentlemen, like we said at the beginning, open up this message today. The time has come for us to follow the principles in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. The time has come for us to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith, proving our own selves, realizing that not one of us will ever receive the seal of God, while our characters have one spot of stain upon them. So the question is to be asked, are we ready for the seal of the living God to be placed upon our foreheads? Don't look to the east, don't look to the west, don't look to the north or the south. Look within inside yourself, asking the Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct you, and only you can answer the question if you're ready today.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O Lord, for another opportunity to come before you. Lord, we ask for forgiveness of sin, and we ask, O Lord, for an understanding of the receiving your seal. Lord, give us the power and the strength and the desire to want to search your word so that we can know what this seal is, and give us the power to go and get it. Wherever it is, O Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we continue this program next, we're going to part two of this program today of receiving the seal of the living God on what it will take for us to issue the death penalty. And once again, you can visit our website to listen to past programs, which will be www.ptpministries.org. And you can call us for any information or any help you may want in certain matters at 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.
This is